Bibles, we're going to be mostly looking at the passage from Jeremiah today. It's on page 698 in your Pew Bible, but it's Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. I hear it a lot from folks. They'll often ask, what does the Old Testament have to do with my life? It was so long ago, and it's not about the life of Jesus in the same way that the New Testament is, perhaps, at least on the surface it seems that way. But there's an awful lot in there, and we want to look at the life of Jeremiah today a little bit and see the relevance that his life and his call has when we consider our life and our call. But 3 weeks ago, before we had the big snow day on Sunday morning, the Sunday before that, we talked about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And then we had a snow day. And then the next week, we talked about spiritual gifts and how the body of Christ is not complete unless everyone is functioning in their spiritual gift. God has gifted each one of us. God has called each one of us. And so today we're going to look at the call that God placed on Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And there's a reason for that. If you will advance the slide just one. I didn't warn you about this, Dan. Sorry.
That's okay.
So this is in the Sistine Chapel. This is Michelangelo's painting of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And the rabbis say that he began wailing the moment he was born and never stopped. And so when Michelangelo painted him on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he has him in this posture of despair, basically. He looks like a guy who's wept so long he has no tears left to weep. His face is turned over to one side like he's been hit with many blows. His shoulders are kind of hunched forward. He's weighed down by the sins of the people that God called him to. His eyes are looking down, almost as if he can no longer bear to look up and see God's people suffer. And his hand is over his mouth. Maybe he thinks he's said it all, I would say. And so this tells us a lot about Jeremiah. He was a preacher's kid. His father was a priest. And he labored as a prophet for the Lord for more than 40 years. And that's a long time to be a weeping prophet. In the time frame Jeremiah lived, when Israel was really kind of kicked around by three large superpowers, there was Assyria to the north, Egypt to the south, and Babylon to the east. And he served and he suffered through the administrations of three different kings. So he's seen a lot. You know, when an administration changes over and everything changes, if you're still there, that's pretty impressive. Must be God had a call on his life. So we have in the scriptures today this divine call, this call of God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God did wonderful things for Jeremiah before he was even born. He knew him. He formed him. He set him apart. He appointed him. There's some things that we can see from the call of Jeremiah that are important for us today. I love this scripture because it points to the fact that whatever our understanding is of the call of God and of life, God's understanding is pretty clear. That God is the Lord of life. He formed Jeremiah in the womb. He had biological parents, obviously, but God himself fashioned him and knit him together in his mother's womb. The Lord of life uses this natural process that he designed to plant human life in the womb. The second thing that we can see from this is that Even in the womb, a person is a human being, created in the image of God, living in relationship to God. And this verse shows us that there is a personal relationship between God and the child in the womb. Think about it in another place in Scripture. Why would John the Baptist jump in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, even when Mary, pregnant with Jesus, came to visit Elizabeth? So birth is not our beginning. God has a personal knowledge of the individual that precedes birth. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This word for new in Hebrew is a really strong word. It's the same word that's used for intimacy between a husband and a wife. God knows you that well. What a beautiful thing for God to say to us that He knows us. He made a commitment to us before we were even born. What a beautiful thing for parents to say to their children, God knows you, God loves you, and He has entered into a personal relationship. God chooses us. If we want to know who we are and what our call is, we need to know whose we are. And for the person that is a Christian, the answer to that question is that you belong to Jesus Christ. When did Jeremiah start belonging to God? When did God choose him? Scripture tells us, while he was yet in his mother's womb. Every single one of us has a calling. We talked about it last week. You know, there's this general call that we have to believe in Jesus Christ, but everyone who believes in Christ and follows Him has a special calling to this particular area of obedience or ministry or vocation within the body of Christ. Jeremiah was not only set apart for salvation, but he was set apart to be a prophet. God called him to that. He had a mission to accomplish. He had a message to deliver. Your calling might not be Jeremiah's calling. I hope it's not. He had quite a calling. It was for good reason he was called the weeping prophet. But you do have a call. And God knows you. He chose you. And He has a plan for your life. F.B. Meyer puts it this way. He says, from the foot of the cross, when we are cradled in our second birth, to the brink of the river, when we lay down our armor, there is a path which He has prepared for us to walk in. So maybe you're still trying to figure out what God's plan is for you. Many Christians long to know what God is asking them to do, and if you are not sure, there are at least two things that you need to consider as you consider God's call on your life. The first is to do everything you already know God wants you to do. We talk about it all the time. We can't expect or be ready for God's call or even recognize His call unless we are trying to listen to His voice. This includes spending time in prayer, reading Holy Scripture, serving the people that God has in your life, remaining active in the worship of the church, being God's witness in the world. All of these things are important to walking with the Lord and being a part of the Christian life. And the second thing is, have you ever asked God simply to reveal His will for your life? Have you asked Him in prayer? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and you can be given to Him. I think sometimes we might have an idea of what God has called us to do, and we might not like it. I don't know if that resonates for you, but Jeremiah knew exactly what God wanted him to do. And even after God gave him the divine call, Jeremiah was kind of a dubious candidate, and he gave God excuses. You ever give God excuses? I don't know. I've tried it. It doesn't work for very long. Jeremiah's complaint was that he had a sort of a lack of eloquence and a lack of experience. So he kind of said, wait a second, Lord. this whole profit to the nations thing, it sounds good, but I don't think I'm the one for it. It's not my spiritual gift. As you know, I'm getting a C in rhetoric at the synagogue, and besides, I'm just a kid. So he had it all laid out. He had it all planned out for what he was going to do. Was Jeremiah being modest, or was he displaying lack of faith? Was it right for him to object God's call? Think about some other people you might know in Scripture that were called by God. Isaiah was called, and his excuse was, I'm not holy enough. Right? How about Moses? Remember his excuse? Kind of like Jeremiah, I'm not eloquent enough. I can't speak. Jeremiah had serious doubts as to whether or not he could do the job that he was called to do, and that would be natural for anybody that receives a call from God to think about, boy, I'm kind of weak. I can't really do this. That's exactly the point. You are weak. I am weak. It is in our weakness that God calls us and makes us strong, lest we should be boasting about how awesome we are. We shouldn't take any credit for what God does through us, because it's really God doing it. God wants people that are obedient and that are willing to hear his call and answer it. Anybody ever read The Fellowship of the Ring? Maybe. Okay. Thanks, Skip. Yeah. Skip's like, here's my personal copy. Hobbit named Frodo, right? He's chosen to make this long, dangerous quest to destroy the One Ring. And he says, I am not made for perilous quests. I wish I had never seen this ring. Why did it come to me? Why was I chosen? And so Frodo's questions might be like the ones we ask of God. But the answer that Frodo receives is, such questions cannot be answered. But you have been chosen, and therefore you must use such strength and heart and wits as you have. So God kind of said the same thing to Jeremiah. He said, don't give me that. Don't say, I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. God is not limited by human weakness. Whatever God calls us to, he equips us for. He doesn't call us into the desert to fail and to die. If you think that what God is calling you to do is big and you can't do it on your own, good, you're right. Have to rely on the Lord to be able to step out and do it. Have to take an honest look at the gifts that he's given to you. If you don't know what they are, ask others around you. Pray. Ask the Lord for his discernment on it. Jeremiah was a prophet in many ways for post-Christian times as well. Very similar things were going on in his society and culture, and we can learn from what was happening while he was a prophet. He lived in a time much like our own, when people no longer think that God matters. Public life, it's dominated by pagan ideas, pagan rituals, and evil acts. In churches, many people meet their religious obligations, but it's out of duty rather than devotion. And so the spiritual problems that we are looking at in this century are very similar to the problems that made Jeremiah weep all that time ago. God builds and plants that same resurrection power that raised Jesus into the life of every single believer. If you are following Jesus Christ, and if you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, he will uproot and tear down the sin in your heart, and then he will plant faith and build obedience in your life. Just like Jeremiah, we are all somewhat dubious candidates for receiving the call of God on our lives at the beginning. But just like Jeremiah, God has known you from all eternity before you were formed in your mother's womb, and he has set you apart for a new life in Christ.